you know, when the vibrations are as high as they are in this group, like, you're up to good trouble. you want to lift. You all are here for that. Who would give up this time on a Sunday unless you want something to happen? And I realized, well, it kind of doesn't matter what comes out of my mouth. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'm never quite sure of what that's going to be. I'm sure I'm the only one that that's true of. And I think higher power, and my higher power is the universe. I think higher power comes in and stitches things together and has you hear what you need to hear. And if each of you sat with each other, one of you would say, well, no, she said this. And the other one would go, no, she said this. And you are each going to hear what you need to hear for your own good. So that's how I make myself relax. Some speakers actually look out and pretend they're seeing everybody naked, but this is what I do instead. So I just hope that you can hear something valuable out of my story. My story is I came into this running from having to make the world work. I had, and it's interesting the words that I used, because I used, oops, I've got to look at the time. I was going to bring my big clock in and I forgot. Anyway, I came in having to make the world work. The weight of the world was on my shoulder. Things were weighty in my world. Now, I didn't carry a lot of weight on my bones, but I did carry it on my shoulders. And I used a lot of, I was looking at the phrases. I had weighty matters going on. I put my weight into things. I charged through things. I made things happen. This was important stuff going on. And if things didn't turn out, it was my fault. So, you know, I had to make things happen. And you know, I'd made a lot of things happen. I was a pretty impressive person in my life. And then it all fell apart when something, a member of my family made a decision that she just wasn't gonna unmake. And it was really a disastrous decision. And I just couldn't change it. And I had, you know, I think that we all have tools that we use. And I used all my tools. I reached out. I went to therapy. I tried to make this person in my family change her mind, do something different. And I did everything. And I did it right. I mean, I got a lot of agreement that I was doing it all right. I mean, people were telling me I was a wonderful person and I was doing it. And I did it. I was doing it right, darn it. And it wasn't turning out. It just kept not turning out. And I was just, and I was just exhausting myself. And I was so just depressed. And I knew I was at the end of my road. I was at the end of my road. And finally, somebody I reached out to, I think it was a therapist, sent me to a 12-step program, and I got there, and it wasn't me. I wasn't responsible for somebody else's decisions, and it was shocking to me that actually I wasn't in charge of the world. What? You can't tell me this. You mean I've been going on this assumption all my life? I wasn't in charge of everything? I didn't have to produce all the results in the world. And all of a sudden, I could relax and I could actually check into what I needed. And it was so wonderful. And I discovered higher power. I discovered the universe was on my side. And I had other tools, you know. We have tools in our toolkit, but my tools were getting dulled. You know, that one that I kept charging through things with, it was like I was using a screwdriver for something, or a hammer that I needed a screwdriver for. You know, I had the wrong tools. for the things that I needed. And so I switched out my toolkit for the tools that I could find in the 12-step program. I started with another 12-step. Since I said, you know, I have been really just working on my weight, and it goes up and down and up and down. It wasn't hugely up, although it had been. I've actually taken off altogether 70 pounds, but it was an issue. Thank you. It was an issue for me. It was always an issue for me because I binged and I'd avoided some other really horrible things that we can do with our foods. And food was not a friend, you know. Food should be nutrition, you know, and it wasn't for me. It was an enemy. So I can see that now, and it's become an entirely different thing for me. So I came in, I call it a hot mess. and so I was there for, I'm looking back, I think I was there for like 10 years. Close to 10 years. And I was on the wrong program for eating, but it's okay because I got so much value out of getting a relationship with higher power, where I learned how to listen to higher power, because higher power talks to me. It doesn't use reason. It just says, do this in a very quiet voice. So I have to slow my mind down and quiet it to hear my higher power that tells me to do sometimes some very weird stuff. It's never reasonable, my higher power. But it really got me into a relationship with the universe that I can hear to just do this, just trust me, do this. And it's very different from that monkey mind that is always reasonable. Like, you should do this because of do. And it's like really loud and piercing and kind of shrieky. And it's not a nice voice, but that higher power is very gentle and very direct. And so I've learned through the years. And so what do, you know, then when I was praying for something, and I got that something. And when I got that something, I stopped going to my OA meetings. I don't understand sometimes. And so I didn't do it for 10 years. Although I did a lot of the program, I was still doing, you can never really leave these rooms, you know, they still kind of stick around. And then that same thing happened. And that got me here in the first place. And so I kind of got to the same place and I went, wait a minute, Helen, you've been here before. Wait, you know what to do. Don't waste time. Go back to those rooms. And higher power said, you don't need to be that hot mess you were before. Go back to the rooms. And it actually led me back to Arizona, which is where I was before. And I came to Green Valley. And first thing I did was checked out an OA program and got myself checked into my OA program. And it got back here into my OA. And I went, oh, I'm back home. And it was like, oh, this is so wonderful. And I got back on an eating program. I wasn't like way off it. It's really interesting. I got back on a program that I'd been on, but I've now since found a wonderful program where food is my friend. It's really amazing. It's not, it used to be, I remember hearing people say you have to pull the tiger out of the cage 3 times a day. It's not like that for me now. I'm on a food program. It's not like that at all. I'm really in of great comfort with my food program. And I'm able to look at things. Like one of the things I, in looking at the subject matter, let me look at my watch. Oh, I'm in really great time. If things are ootsy for me, there's one of the tools that I use is What is one of the things I'm sure is the right is right? And what if I assume, instead of assuming it's right, what if I were to assume that it's wrong? Just assume, it's just a game. And what if I assume that I thought what was wrong is right? And just play the game. Just kind of open my mind just for a moment and make those assumptions instead. And just look at that. And that just at least kind of jars things in my mind. And that's always kind of a good thing. And sometimes I'll ask someone to do that with me. Like one of the tools I use is I have a sponsor and I use my sponsor every day. I actually read my for today. This is my for today. It's kind of tattered and torn. And then I write on that every day. I answer a question on it every day. I do that without fail. I have a place that I do my food plan every day, but my food plan is pretty unchangeable. So those are things that are immutable. That just works for me. One of the other things that I do every day is that I always include that what I'm thankful for. I've been so graced in my life. I'm so lucky in my life. So I always manage in there to say what I'm thankful for. It's always on some piece of paper. It might be on the newspaper or somewhere, what I'm grateful for, because there's so much that's been given to me in life. One of the other things, like when I worked with Ronnie, and Janice last summer, wasn't it last summer that we did that program? What you're resentful about. Now, I don't tend to be resentful, so it was a fairly short list, but it's a finite list if you've ever never done that process of writing down what you're resentful about until you run out of resentments. If you have resentments a lot, that is a great thing to do, where you write out all your resentments until you run out. If you run out of ink before you run out of resentments, get another pen and keep going. I had a thought about fears because I fret about things. And I thought, what if I did that about fears and things I worry, worries. And I did that with worries. And you know what? My worries were finite. It's amazing that something is finite, because I found I worry so much. You know, my kids would go, oh, you know, Mom, she just worries about things. And I started thinking, it's like, you know, nothing, things people say about you might actually be something you should listen to. It might be a pattern. I look for patterns in my life. That's what I learned that last summer. Look for patterns, because there's gold in them thar hills. When there's a pattern going on, it's worth looking at. Am I starting to run out of time? Am I doing okay? I think I'm running out of time. I'm out of good stuff to tell you. And you heard what you needed to hear.
Well, thank you very much, Helen. We really appreciate hearing from you.
Let's see, 58, gay man, single, no kids, been sober in AA for about 32 years now. I've lived in Tucson since October of 2018, which is when my vacation from OA began. And hit bottom with that again in June of last year, and started coming back to meetings, and I count July the 2nd as my abstinence date. What that really means is, really, the only sugar I get anymore is in the creamer I put in my coffee, and the only white flour I get anymore is the bread on my sandwich. I am no longer eating boxes and cartons of my sugar foods and calling it dinner, which is what I was doing pretty much every night for the most of the 2 years I was here in Tucson before I came back to OA. So it's amazing some of the things that have happened. I've lost some weight. I was really excited about that in the beginning, and then it kind of plateaued, and I'm kind of, a couple of members have lovingly reminded me that, what I weigh is none of my business. That's in God's hand. So I can suit up and show up and do my part. I'm not binging on my old trigger foods anymore. The arthritis in my knees and ankles is so much better because I'm not carrying so much weight anymore. I noticed the other day that my skin is not as oily as it used to be. I was just a regular oil slick, Exxon Valdez spill on my skin, and it's not that way anymore. And the only real thing I could credit that to is, my improved diet and nutrition. I don't have any other explanation for it. I had an unhappy childhood. My father, drug addict, Valium is his drug of choice, and my mother is one of us, a compulsive overeater. And they both have got mental diagnoses of their own, aside from their addictions, can be shockingly cruel. I inherited my parents' addictions. This is not to blame them. It's where my problems came from, but they're my problems now. These are my hurdles to overcome. So I got sober, and how I did, I don't know. I managed to surrender just a little bit of my life. Pretty much successfully handing over the alcohol, but in terms of desire to control and efforts to fix, I was pretty much, I know I had to get better along the way, but holy cow, it was so slow. I have done a lot of inventory work and a lot of prayer and a lot of therapy over my upbringing. And growth has just been progress so slow. And I wrote an email to my therapist the other day. Let me read part of it. The real family I struggle with is my internalized mother, father, and brother who live in my head. I've run from them, blamed them, judged them, raged at them, tried to outshout them, or tried to drown out their voices using alcohol, sex, isolation, exercise mania, food, helping others, which means trying to fix them and me, overspending, hiding in my psychiatric diagnoses, and workaholism. And I've tried most of that in recovery. So it wasn't until I hit bottom this time that I was really willing to let go. I had made myself just nuts at work trying to live up to so many expectations. Let me find it here. I pulled it up so I could read it quickly and now I can't find it. Okay. The Big Book chapter 5, in the segment, the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. What usually happens, the show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be. And gracious is my middle name. That is how I attempt to control other people, that if I say the nice thing or do the nice thing or work hard, you'll love me, you'll approve of me, and life will be wonderful. And it never really occurred to me to blame other people that they're not doing their job or that it's their fault. I just internalized that as, well, I didn't try hard enough. It's a painful way to live. It really is. Food was my coping mechanism for so many years. I say coping mechanism, it kind of kept the crazy to a dull roar in my head. One thing that changed that got me into OA in Houston, which is where I was before I moved to Tucson, is I used to be able to count on, binging on my trigger foods and falling into a carbohydrate coma. I would overeat like this, especially just before bedtime, and go to bed. And if it was alcohol, we wouldn't call it drinking. Sleeping, we would call it passing out. And I guess that's kind of what I was doing with the food. But then that stopped working. And my late night binges, instead of putting me to sleep and zonking me out, actually kept me awake and it contributed to insomnia and tossing and turning all night long. I was doing this and not really connecting the dots. And then one day I realized it's because I overate that I did this, that I'm not sleeping. And so a couple of days go by and I'm doing just fine and I'm getting over my little insomnia hangover and I do it again. And I was so mad because I knew that, after all my protestations and after all my thinking about, well, I've learned my lesson now, back at it again. And I knew what that meant. I knew that meant powerlessness and I was pissed. And I talked to a friend of mine in AA who was also in OA, and I consented to go to one OA meeting. And so I got involved with the program, moved here to Tucson, had my relapse, came out of it. In 1999, I had a bit of a religious or spiritual awakening and converted to a form of Buddhism that is not widely known, and began studying and getting active in that organization, and was just Mr. Gracious trying to control things all over again. Made myself nuts doing that too. And there's something else on my computer. Yes, this is in the AA 12 and 12. Step 7, we could actually have earnest religious beliefs which remained barren because we were still trying to play God ourselves. Hello, that's my name. Done that. Since I have come into OA, reflecting on my past, which has caused me so much pain, I've been able to say that my eternal self, my original self, was unharmed, and it's free, it's whole, and it's here. It's here then, and it's here now. The past, which has caused me so much pain, or really how I think about the past has caused me so much pain. have really been able to reconcile that simply, you know, by believing, you know, it's paradoxical to say that my losses are part of my wholeness. That what was not there and what did not happen, and the abuse that did happen, it's part of my past. It's part of who I am. And I can like myself today. So, okay, the past is okay too. This analogy would kind of sum up the Buddhism I practice. If you've ever driven past a church at night when its lights are off, have you ever noticed the stained glass window then? It looks fractured, it looks lumpy, it looks ugly. It's like, why on earth would anybody ever want one of those? But then the light comes on. And you see the colors and you see the patterns and we see the pictures and the stories the pictures tell. And it's the same window. The nature of the window beforehand is the same as the nature of the window afterwards. The difference is now the light of courage, wisdom, and compassion is shining through. And so my past, my weaknesses, my character defects, I've been living with them in the dark, complaining how ugly they are and unhappy. One essential step is to begin to believe, put more faith in my higher power than I put in my weaknesses and my defects. And to begin to let those weaknesses and defects assume their more normal proportion in my life. Another way of looking at them, I think, is have you ever cooked with sesame oil in your Asian cooking? You know, a few drops, a half a teaspoon is a marvelous thing, brings out so much flavor and aroma, but just a few drops more and you ruin the dish. So I don't know if these internal demons in my head called Mom, Dad, and David, my brother, are they gonna go away? No. They belong here, they're a part of me. Do I think maybe they have an illuminated aspect that if I let go of them and put more faith in my faith than I put in my fear and my shame, will something new emerge? With my alcoholism, I would say its dignified aspect has been sobriety and abstinence. And you know, the dignified aspect of my overeating is abstinence and being able to let go. And so these parts of me that have caused so much trouble, I'm sure that there is a miracle to take place with them. My alcoholism and my overeating haven't gone anywhere. They're still here. Relapse is always a possibility. I've been there. I've done that. But I now have a new relationship with my disease. And instead of holding me back and adding to my suffering, is now something that enables me to go forward and let go of things that I've been struggling to let go of for so many years. Never realizing that my main problem was I was trying to control it all still. What else? I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.